Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Okay, I may ask you to either quit fighting or freezing or flying away or anything like that, whatever you're doing right now. Wow, it's great to hear. This is more than a buzz, wouldn't you say? I don't know what you would call it. It's obviously more than a buzz. I'm really excited to be able to kind of do this first part of the message with Garrett. And Garrett and Allison have been incredible servants and leaders within our young adults and so many other areas they've touched at times kids ministry. So thank you so much for all you have done and what you're doing for us. We're really thrilled. And what some of you may not know is he's had to carry another job through this process. So this is not his full-time work. And so he gives that kind of energy to it. And so we're grateful for that. But the other thing you have done for years is you have been an EMT 10 plus years or something like that, right? And so you are a first responder. And we're talking about spiritual first responders. So thank you for doing that. You looked like you wanted to say something. I don't want to cut you off.
I was just going to correct you, but you're okay.
Oh. Yeah. Anytime you want to, yeah. You know, it's fine, you know, go for it. But anyway, so being a first responder, and we ask these questions, what is it for you, just in the sense of fight, flight, freeze? What do you usually do?
I'm a fight.
You fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So do I.
Does that surprise you?
Does it surprise you?
No, not at all.
I was telling someone I was walking down the parking lot one time, and this dog in this SUV came slamming right next to me, and I just, boom, I hit the window so hard I just about broke my hand. But that is just kind of a response people have. That's how they can respond to different things. But we are really going to be talking more about what it means to be like a first responder in the sense of what might be a crisis or a situation where someone needs help. And you do that, and you've been doing that. What would you say if you're talking to this group out here? I haven't had much to do with EMTs or that kind of thing. What would be some things you would encourage people about responding?
Yeah, so I was a firefighter for 5 years, and now I've been a paramedic for 5 years. The first thing that comes to mind telling people about this field and getting into it is having the right motives. This field has one of the highest turnover rates of any field. Like, very, very few people last more than 2 years, even after going through all the training and everything. So having the right motives, having the right heart, I think back of when I was with Minnetonka Fire Department, our motto is service before self. Mm-hmm. And if you don't come at the work with that kind of mindset, with that framework of service before self, putting others first, you eventually get burned out.
Yeah, I imagine so. And one of the things we've been talking about is other-minded prayer, and in that aspect, when you are doing a first responder kind of thing, one of the things that just amazes me, think about it, and such a, we should always be grateful for those first responders, because as we're running away, they're running into it. Think of 9/11. You look at that, I remember the hurricane one time in Florida, the big one, lines of cars going out, and then you see these few cars going in. I mean, you're a little bit crazy to have to do some of that. I would think at times you're going into a situation you have no idea, right? Mm-hmm. What's going to be like when you go into it. Mm-hmm. And so as we kind of talk about from moving from first responders to spiritual first responders and this idea of other-minded prayer, I mean, when you're there, you've got to be, I mean, I'm sure you got stuff going on in your own life, but you've got to be pretty focused, pretty present with what's going on there. And I love what you said about motives, because we're not going to talk about that at this point in this message, but as we are spiritual first responders, it is so good to kind of check your heart and check what's going on this side. So as you think about that, and we think about spiritual first responders, we're going to talk about a few truths. And the first one that I ask you to kind of talk about with me is to offer prayer. Mm-hmm. And we can bring our needs before God, but we forget sometimes in the midst of our own focus in life that God's calling us to be other-minded and that we can bring the needs of others before God in prayer. And if you look at through the Bible, that's what Jesus seemed to do. You know, he would be in situations where he saw the people, 5,000 of them are hungry, and he says to the disciples, you feed them. And they're going like, there's no McDonald's around here, we don't have enough money. And he's really causing them to think about the fact that they don't have the resources. Like, you don't have the resources to meet all that person's need, but you do have the resource of God. And you have an ability to communicate with him. So tell us a little bit. What I wanted Garrett to do, because he does this naturally, and I would love for his boldness to rub off on me and us, okay?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. Now go for it. Yeah, I gave you a free line. Go for it.
I think the key there, and I think what Jesus is teaching the disciples there, is to actually care. Mm-hmm. You have to actually care about the people that are in front of you. And that's really obvious, and that you can't really go past that. That's the beginning and that's the end, is you have to actually care. And again, I think about in missions, when me and my wife were overseas in Africa, the organization that we were with had a motto. I'm all about mottos this morning. Their motto was stop for the one. You can't be too busy or too important to be thinking about the next people that you're going to be with. You have to be with the person and care about the person that you're with and their needs. You stop for the one that is right in front of you.
Yeah.
And that means actually praying, not forgetting to actually pray more than just, I will pray for you later, but actually stopping and praying.
So when you talk about that, I think is critical. Jesus stands before these massive people and says, the idea is that in his guts, he felt this compassion for them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were hungry there, et cetera. And so the very first thing that happens is we begin to notice because we actually have a heart that cares about people around us. And so then you kind of look for the one. And a guy, Dan Woodbury, here in church, gave me a book. It's called Looking for the One. It talks about that kind of idea of how do you live. It's just smaller little chapters. You could pick it up. But looking for the one. What does it mean to look for the one in all different occasions? And so you do live with a life looking for the one. Mm-hmm. But if you're not in a situation where you can stop to actually pray for them, which I think is that kind of bold step to say, can I just pray for you right now? But you're not in that situation. I have never had, and I imagine you haven't either, anyone say no if you say, I'll be praying for you.
No, never.
So it is the easiest way when we talk about being other-minded, about, you know, the big word we sometimes use is evangelism or sharing your faith or whatever it might be. One of the first steps you can do to build a relationship spiritually with someone is be a spiritual first responder that basically says, man, you empathize. That must really hurt. I'd love to be praying for you. You can do it at that moment as God leads. And that's kind of the things. Any other thing you want to say to us? I'm giving you an open mic here to do that. You take it anyway. But, I mean, I'm even endorsing it.
That's dangerous.
No, I know.
I don't have much else to say. But I just think that the spiritual first responder mindset is changing your mindset on what a normal Christian life looks like. It's praying for people in real time is not just for gifted evangelists and pastors. It's for me. It's for you. I don't want to get political here, but there's this a folk singer that just got really popular in the last few weeks. You might have heard of him or heard his song. And I was watching him in some interviews on some podcasts, and he's kind of a voice of like of the poor, of the everyman a little bit. And one thing he kept saying in his podcast was, no one from the federal government is coming to save you. And you think about it in this context of, we can't be waiting for someone else to be caring for the people that we're with. We have to assume that no one else is coming to pray for this person, to meet their needs. It's us. It's our job.
Yeah.
And that is the normal Christian life.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you. Appreciate it, Garrett. So as we kind of look at that, and if I'm going to give you three things of advice that I think might be essential for a spiritual first responder, I think the first thing is having that mindset, living in such a way that when you see a crisis or experience something that may look like, or they may be whatever's going on, you have the opportunity to kind of say, can I pray for you? There's all kinds of things you can do. We have this idea, too, that the person's got to have this crisis, everything's falling apart. I don't want you to even think that way. Crisis in people's lives are all relative, right? If I ask people right now, do you have something that's maybe significant in your mind, in your heart that's going on, I think most all of us would kind of raise our hand and say we do. I shared that little video last week of my grandson getting on the bus for his first day of kindergarten. And, you know, I'm praying for him to get on, and his mom's concerned, and we're watching him, and you want him to have a good ride in the bus, and he was going on, and then a little girl about a couple years older than him responds to his little crisis, which may not seem much to you guys, but to his little heart, and says, hey, and she makes a sacrifice. Instead of sitting with her girlfriend or friend, she says, do you want to sit with me? On her own. That's, I think, what you're saying. As God prompts us and God begins to move, live looking for the one. And it doesn't have to be this huge crisis. It could be just like a little kid getting on a bus, that kind of crisis for someone. But we have the ability to do something because Jesus said, as you go through life, I want you to tell others. I want you to share the life of Jesus, to speak Jesus in that sense, which means sometimes you're using words and sometimes you're just living that life before him and you're doing things like, hey, and letting Jesus touch that person through you. We just got to live that way. We need to begin to think that way and operate that way. And I'll be the first to say, to live that way is not easy for me because I get so focused on what I'm doing. So it does call for a kind of pattern that you have to put in your heart and your life sometime earlier in the day that maybe even at your prayer time at noon, if you stop to eat and pray, you just remind yourself, God, help me to be other-minded. Help me to be focused on someone else. God, if there's an opportunity for me to offer to pray for someone, give me that opportunity. And God, give me the boldness to step in and do that. Can we do that? Okay, let's just do that. That's the end of the message today. No. You're all loving it. Let's go. Food trucks outside. No. I really want to share with you, I think, something incredibly important. And that is in this whole idea of how we speak Jesus into lives of others. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we read this scripture. Because we can offer prayer and then we get to share Jesus. And I say speak Jesus, share Jesus, in the sense of we get to bring the kingdom of God into the lives of other people. People don't realize that what Jesus came, it says in Mark, here I'm going to tell you about the gospel according to Jesus Christ, but then it goes on and it says the very first thing Jesus talks about is repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. And if you go through all his teaching of Jesus, it's all about the kingdom of God. It's about living under the reign of the sovereign one God, where you begin to align your life to his will and purposes, his kingdom. And Paul, it begins in Acts talking about the kingdom of God, and Paul, it ends in the book of Acts talking about the kingdom of God. And one of the things we don't have a good grasp on, if we did have a good grasp on, I think we'd be far better at doing these spiritual first responder stuff, is that we live in the kingdom of God. We bring something to people that they are not aware of. So here's what it says in 1 Timothy. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Pretty simple. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. And you know what? This was in the time of Rome where Nero was lighting his gardens with Christians and using them as torches. Horrible to say. I would probably not have Paul's ability to be apolitical and say, God says, pray for those. Ask God to help you. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray for this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. There's this sense of that we can live our lives in such a way marked with godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior who wants everyone to be saved. The word sozo in its in one of its roots form is this idea of rescuing and healing and moving in such a way that is about God entering into someone's life now and forever. We have this mind saved so they can go to heaven. No, it's so that heaven can come down, like Jesus said, now into earth. And so he says that they might be rescued to understand the truth. That's an interesting thing. Or as many, the Greek actually says, the knowledge of the truth. This is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Jesus, we're just going to stop for a second. And let your words sink into our heart. This is who I want to be, God. This is the kind of people that we want to be. I'm praying for more humility and yet more boldness. More ability to love and more ability to speak truth. And to do so in ways that are in line with who you are. Gracious, meek. Able to give an answer and hope to people around us who are in a situation where they need to be rescued and understand the truth. Amen. Okay, thanks so much. You can be seated. So offer prayer. Here's the next thing I want to say. Speak Jesus. So specifically, share Jesus in the sense of, I'm more concerned that you are able to convey, like if you're a spiritual first responder and you're going, I don't know what to do, and you're as nervous as they are, that's not a great thing. Would you agree? That probably doesn't help a lot of, he's worse off than, get a guy for him. I think the concept that I want you to understand, which is in the Word of God, which he's talking about here in that verse we said, is you want to be able to have an opportunity to pray for them that God might, through you and through his truth, rescue them. And so here's the kingdom of God. This could be lots of messages, so I'm going to try and very quickly give you three words. You know, we talk about the kingdom of God expresses itself in the sense that everyone's welcome, right? People came to Jesus. He didn't care who they were. Nobody's perfect. Let's get out of the game that somehow our life, we're more perfect than you are. We're not playing Pharisees. Let's not be self-righteous. We didn't save ourselves. Jesus is the one who saves us. So anyway, the third thing is that anything's possible. Well, if I want to share with you what is the message of the kingdom, Jesus begins, and he says in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, he says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near, or at hand is what it means. Repent and believe the good news. Think again, or rethink how you're thinking about this life in this world. When the kingdom of God has come, here's something new that you need to know, and here's what you need to know. God is here. God's here. He's not far away. He's not distant. He's present and available to everyone and anyone who is willing to cry out and say, I need you. And sometimes I need someone else to pray for me, and someone around you may need you to pray for them so that the kingdom of God, the sense of his presence, can come into their heart and life. But they need to understand the truth, and that's what Jesus was talking about. The word is kind of interesting. The kingdom of God is at hand. It means that in Jesus, the fullness of the kingdom has come, and through him, and later, his death and resurrection through the giving of the Holy Spirit, his kingdom is now available through everyone and everyone who knows Jesus. It's available to people through those who are following Jesus and have invited Jesus and his spirit to begin to operate and move into their hearts and lives. Right? So the kingdom is here, and one of the primary messages that we need to understand is that God's here. It's like if you were taking someone into this church, and let's say they're a visitor, and you're walking along, you're coming in from one of these angles over here, and eventually you're walking, you're talking, and you go, oh, well, behold. You don't speak like that, but let's just say, hey, the sanctuary's at hand. It's here. It's not far away. Even what you've done in your life hasn't removed God so that he's distant from you. He is there waiting, desiring to be present with you. So that's one thing you just want to, you come with the presence. You can come with a calming presence as a first responder offering prayer with this understanding and knowledge that you would love to convey to them is because of Jesus, God is here. And then you go on, and there's another thing that's really important, I think, of these, what I would call three phrases. In fact, I'll just give them to you first, because I might forget them. God is here, God is able, and God is good. And in a sense, they sum up the kingdom of God. You might go, well, what about the forgiveness? That's all in this. The goodness of God provided Jesus to forgive you for your sins, and that's kind of the port, kind of the what I'd call the entryway into the whole thing with life with God. But what I think really people need to understand it here, because a lot of people don't have this understanding, is not only God is here, but God is able. And I'm not going to try and answer all your questions. We're going to actually do a message plus coming up, and I'm going to do this with Luke Brodeur and John Orberg and I. We're going to just talk, and I'm asking people for questions on prayer, and I've gotten a bunch already, and we're just going to try and answer some of those. But I'm not going to answer these. I'm just going to try and share with you what is true so that you can live your life according to that truth, and you will have questions. Garrett's in a situation, knows God, has a friend who's gone through a difficult time with a report of a medical report of his friend's child. To stand here and sing God is good in the midst of it is not easy, but it's true. I don't get all the answers. I'm not going to be able to provide all the answers. Jesus didn't stop and give all the answers when he taught. He just said, here's what's true. I tell you the truth. Bank on this. Don't try and form this thing to fit you. Let this thing form you so you fit into the kingdom. Does that make sense? So God is able. So Jesus takes three guys up, Peter, James, John. They're up in the top of the mountain. They're having this great time because Jesus is transfigured and all things are great. They come down, and here are the other nine disciples who are trying to heal someone because they've been given the ability to heal. They've gone out and done that. Here's a guy who brought his son. His son is, they can't heal him, and everyone's kind of upset. And Jesus goes, oh, man. How long do I put up with you? And he says to the guy, he says, how long has your son been doing this? And he tells him how long. He actually he has a spirit in him that throws him into the fire, an evil spirit. And he says, the guy responds to Jesus. I'm going to read you his words. Jesus, ask for how long has your son been like this? From childhood, the father answers, throws him into the fire. But if you can do anything, take pity and help us. And Jesus, you know what he said? Kingdom's here. God's here. And this is his answer. God's able. Listen to what he says. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Now, I'm not going to try and go through here and exegete all the ways this works. I'm just telling you this is what Jesus said. And if Jesus said it, I'm going to believe it because I believe he knew something more than any of us here did. So whatever your situation is, whatever that person is, you're coming to and you're offering prayer, and you come with the calmness because God is here. He's with you. He's present. You don't have to have all the answers. Don't get all wigged out if you don't have everything settled. Just know God is with you. Believe it. Trust it. And then know that God is able. Whatever that person has going on in their life, God is able to deal with it. You may not know how he's going to deal with it. You may not know exactly what he's going to do. That's why I pray this, and I've said this to you guys so many times, but it helps me. I just pray everyone, Father, I agree with who you are. I agree with what you're doing, and the hardest is I agree with how you're doing it. Pray that every morning. I agree with who you are. That's an easy one, okay. I agree with what you're doing. For me, I agree with how you're doing it. Because the third thing he tells us is not only is God here, this is the kingdom message. This is the kingdom of God coming through Jesus. This is what Jesus taught people. If you want to see it all, this is what he taught people through the miracles. God is able to handle this. There is nothing that was brought before Jesus that he goes, oh man, that's bigger than God. And why Jesus, when he went through the pool of Siloam, only healed one and not everyone else, I don't know. Any more than I don't know at sometimes in Jesus, we pray and he doesn't answer in a way that we would want him to answer. Those are some of the mysteries that someday I'll just wait and see for God to answer that. But God's here is the kingdom of God. God is able is the kingdom of God. He says anything, and God is good. God is good. Listen to what John, the apostle, who was his closest friend to Jesus, who knew Jesus better than any other and was given the gift of having a long life, writes in the end of his years, he's older, he's probably 80, 90, I don't know what age, they don't know, but he's probably in his 80s. And he begins this 1 John letter, and he says, "We have heard, looked at, seen with our eyes, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim to you. This is the message we heard from you." What would be your message? John's message is simply this: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's just another way of saying there's no shadow of turning within him. There is nothing twisted. There is nothing evil. There is nothing bad. God doesn't create these catastrophes that we're seeing in the heartbeat. I don't, again, have the answers for all this, but I do know there is no philosophical system that if you look at what's happening in Libya and you look at what's happening in Hawaii and all these different places, you could just name them all. There is no philosophical system, because every one of them are built on faith that answers it better than I do believe Christianity answers it the best. When it says there's a good and loving God, he's still creating. He's not creating these things. There is an evil power. There is an evil called Satan. There are fallen angels who have fallen and who are seeking and are ruling in this earth, and sin has entered in. And because sin has entered in, we experience things that we would not experience if God wasn't the kind of God that wants to give his people free will to choose him. It goes with the deal. But it makes him no less good. He's here, he's able, you can tell him that, and he's good. Sometimes you get these people, if they're praying, they feel God's far off, and they don't know him in that way, or whatever. I heard, someone sent me this, it was a man who had a revelation, had an encounter with God, and he says it was through an angel, but I love what his words were. He says, because he was wrestling with this whole idea of, you know, does God hear me? So he goes, a person's thoughts, this is what he says, this revelation from God came to him. This angel said to him, a person's thoughts sound as loud in heaven as their voices do on earth. A person's thoughts sound as loud in heaven as their voices do on earth. That's the kind of realm and kingdom we live in. He's here. If you could tell people one simple message, because people have really bad ideas about who God is, it is he's good. And I would follow it by saying, read about the life of Jesus. Study Jesus. Share Jesus. Speak Jesus. And then the third thing is I would do this. Offer prayer. Share Jesus, speak Jesus, kingdom of God, and the truths that I just talked about. And the last thing I do is actually pray for him, okay? That last little step is important, to actually then pray for him. Whether you're praying for that moment or you're praying for them on a regular basis. One of the greatest powers in the kingdom of God is this ability to ask God, period, for anything. But I think often even asking God for someone else is powerful. Again, I'm not going to say I get how it all works. I just know that Jesus taught this. We can lay hold of one of the greatest powers in heaven by merely asking God. And you go, well, God knows in my heart. Why do I got to do it? Sometimes God's just like we do with parents. We go, you know, to a kid, you want them to learn how to ask for what they need. Okay, that's just a thought. Jesus said, ask your Father in heaven, anything you ask in my name will be yours. The power that comes in asking is so incredible. If anything in this message, if I could get it across to you, is that what Jesus made really clear is that our God is a Father who's a personal being, who relates to us the way we relate with one another. And one of the things that he wants us to do is we relate. We do this in marriage groups, Grace and I and all others, is learning to understand what we need and being able to verbalize and ask for what we need. And one of the things that's so powerful in the kingdom of God is our job is not to try and manipulate or coerce or somehow do something in our power to get that person to believe. Our job is really just to share, witness, and then to ask God for that person. It's one of the greatest powers on earth, folks. Think about it. Jesus taught about this. If you look at the teachings of Jesus, you look at Luke 11 where he talks about, here's how you pray. He says, here's how you pray. And, you know, it's this nice thing that we put in poetry on the wall. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, da-da-da-da. But then he stops and he goes, there's a guy who was gone to sleep. He closed everything up and his neighbor came because it was late at night and some visitors came, and in that Eastern kind of culture, you always were gracious. You gave them food. He didn't have food ready and available, so he went to his neighbors and he's knocking on the door. He keeps knocking on the door. It says shamelessly he keeps knocking. He's basically asking his neighbor. God, Jesus is giving this as a parable of what it means for us to ask God on behalf of someone else. And he ends it by saying this, ask, and it'll be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. If you know how to give good things to your kids, do you think God, and he says, you and you who are evil know how to do this, do you think God who is good is going to give you something less? And he ends it by saying he will make sure you will be given the Holy Spirit. So he leaves it broad because he'll answer it and however he wants to answer it. But here's the key thing. We are called to ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock because there's something powerful. If I'm asking you for something, looking in your eyes and I'm asking you, it's really hard to say no. How many have gone down the a turnoff and here's a person holding a sign, ex-military vet, wanting money? How many just stare them right in the eyes? Our tendency is when someone's asking us for something is to look away. Because the asking process in itself is powerful. Look at this video real quickly.
Can I help you? Can I help you with something? What? 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 What can I do for you? Huh? What? What do you want? What? 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 You want some food? Food? You hungry? It is midday. You just ate. And you're hungry again? What?
Okay.
Oh my gosh. All right.
There's also this. How many of you sat at a table and have had that looking at you? Or this? Oh, feed it something. Simply, the truth is, and I don't fully understand it except for we're called in a personal relationship with a God, and there's something about living personally with him, and he says, ask. And you know, not just ask once, because there's so much I could teach on this. He's doing stuff in your own heart. He's clarifying things. He's doing all kinds of stuff. He may be working in someone else's life to get something ready. But he says, do that for other people. Father, thank you so much. We come before you and are grateful. And I just want to take a moment for us to just let God speak to our hearts in any part of this. And as you do, it may be that one of the things you want to do is say, God, help me to establish some kind of pattern to truly become other-minded, whether it's something I put in my phone that comes up or an alarm that goes off, but continually reminds me that I'm here for you and for the sake of others, as I have been given this gift of life and how you have promised through me to use me. And as we're praying, someone may come into your mind right now, and if they do, would you just look in the eyes of Jesus and ask? And a person blind was standing before Jesus, and Jesus said, "What do you want?" And he wanted him to ask. "I don't get it, but you do, God. And I do believe you're calling us to be a kind of people who are spiritual first responders, looking for the one, offering prayer, bringing the calming presence of the truth of the kingdom of God, that you are here, you're able, and you're good, and then committing ourselves to ask you, to seek, to knock, to implore. On behalf of others. We want to be like you, Jesus. Thank you." And Father, I also just right now pray. I pray, God, for some who are here and they're just going, "I don't have any energy for anything else, but I'm just trying to hang on." God is here right now for you. And God is able to care for you. And he is fully good. And I ask you, Jesus, on behalf of any person here or online who listens to this, God, if they are looking in your eyes right now, would you look in their eyes? Would you fill their hearts if they're coming before you and saying, I want to be a part of this kingdom of God. I want the forgiveness that comes. I want to be right with you, God. I want to walk with you, God. I want to be in relationship with you, God. Would you take them, Holy Spirit, and hug them with your presence, I pray, and bring comfort. And even those who have known you and walked with you a long time, and they're in that same situation, they're just wondering, God, would you bring believers and others around them who will stand with them, I pray. What a great time, God, to be here with you, to be in your presence, to know that you love us this much, and to know that you are good, that there is no shadow within you. To not have to have all the answers, to be able to live in mystery, and to know one thing that we know that we know that we know, and that is, Jesus, you are good, and you love us. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name.